Once again, it is time for a look at the pages of the Lakeville Journal and the Millerton News here on Robin Hood Radio. We get together with John and Emily every week, and we take a look at a few selected stories that you'll find in each one of the papers. And of course, we take a look at Compass and also their editorial pages and more. And so once again, it's nice to welcome both John and Emily to Robin Hood Radio. Good morning. Thanks for joining us, guys.
Hey, good morning,
Marshall.
So let's take a look at the paper. I mean, we had a summertime week preceding this a little earlier, but this is a story that that I talked about just the other day. And this is a big, big story because it's a big, big grant. And John, that is a $750,000 competitive grant. Now, this was not just handed out. This was a competitive grant that the Land Conservancy got.
That's right. This is very exciting news for farms and land trusts in the northwest corner and down in Fairfield County. There were 12 organizations across the state that received grants from the Department of Agriculture. It's part of a Climate Smart Agriculture and Forestry grant program. And there were, as you point out, it was competitive. There were 78 applications seeking, you know, this kind of money. It really is aimed at helping farms and land trusts do climate smart things like climate smart agriculture, projects that really make the land more resilient in responding to a changing climate. So adapting to extreme weather or improving water quality and water use, extending growing seasons, things like that. So using cover crops. So this is a really big deal. And the next bunch of this will be another 7 million coming. This is part of 7 million in the initial phase, but there's another 7 million to be handed out. But we're writing about what it means here for the Northwest corner. And as you pointed out, it's a $750,000 is quite a bit of money.
And you know what this does? There are certain naysayers out there that think that protecting land is wrong. This doesn't protect land. It takes the land that is protected and makes it more usable and better, and increases the value of the land around it.
That's right. That's right. And we've all seen, despite the question about the evidence for climate warming or whatever you want to call it, our weather definitely is changing. And so this is a great way to apply some funding, especially to farms and to land trusts, to protect the landscape.
Once again, we're talking about the stories that are in the pages of the Lakeville Journal and Millerton News. Right now, we're on the Lakeville Journal. And, you know, when I was a kid growing up, social workers filled a very important need in our area. That kind of fell back into the background. But once again, you've got a great story here that once again, that need has gotten larger and bigger. And town social workers, once again, are there filling a very important need.
Right. This is a story that we wanted to do because we attend budget hearings all the time, and towns spend money on social work. And it's one of those sort of hidden assets that people are not really aware of. In some towns, in other states, they don't do this. They don't fund social work at the town level. But in the Northwest corner, we do. And so we took a look. Isabel Clark Foster, who is a social worker and does writing for us, has a reporter's notebook looking at three towns this week that have social workers. And next week, we'll look at the remaining three in the Region 1 area. But we look at Sharon and Kent and Cornwall this week at the kinds of things that these hidden, you know, social workers, they're not really hidden, but they kind of work behind the scenes to do a lot of things for people in the community, from helping them with housing, helping them with fuel costs, food, you name it, pharmacy prescriptions. And they work a lot with nonprofits that also, like, you know, help help the community. So this is a great little story. And the outlook for the employment for social work is actually about four times greater than the outlook as a whole for general employment. That just sort of points out how our society really does need social and human service.
It's an important way to improve the quality of life, not only for the people that directly get the social services but for everybody in the area. Switching just a little bit, this is an interesting story out of Falls Village, from office to apiary. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, this is, a kind of a farm story, certainly. This is a profile, really, of a couple that lives in Falls Village. They've been there a while, and they have quite a few, they have an assortment of animal stock on their farm, grass-fed cattle, goats, and they also have an apiary, and it's Dan Carr and Marlene Van Gulik, a couple that has a couple of children. They met at one of Dan's beekeeping training courses in New York, where Marlene was trying to do bees in the backyard of her apartment. And anyway, they moved up here to Falls Village and have sort of put down roots. And it's a nice photo of the couple. It gets kind of into detail about what beekeeping's all about. And what beekeeping really is all about is, it's kind of almost a trite thing, but it's about community and it's about the colonies of bees and connecting. So it's a nice story. I recommend everybody take a look at this. And the next time they have some honey on their toast, kind of think about what goes into it. We need bees. We need bees to have oranges too.
We need bees to have human beings. So without the bees, we wouldn't be here.
Yeah, right.
Once again, we're this is This Week in the Lakeville Journal and Millerton News. Let's go to Narcan, which is an amazing drug and an amazing option, and there's going to be more access to that.
Yes, we the Lakeville Journal is, as you know, is a nonprofit now. We partner with Connecticut Mirror, another nonprofit that covers the state, and the Connecticut Mirror did a story on the upcoming availability of the nasals of Narcan, which is going to be used as a brand of nasal spray, naloxone. And it starts out by pointing out, tragically, that there are a lot of deaths in Connecticut due to opioid overdoses, and how this new Narcan availability later this summer is going to hopefully help, you know, combat the problem. It's not for people who use drugs. It's for people who may encounter someone who uses drugs. Mm-hmm. And so you can't, as the story points out, you really can't Narcan yourself. But we also finished the story off by pointing out that Greenwood's Counseling in Region 1 does provide free Narcan kits, and they do this every Thursday from noon to one at the Sharon Hospital. So it's a very informative story. It's a big topic, and it's especially worth reading if you're a friend or family of someone with a problem.
Well, that's the whole thing. It provides you that golden time to save somebody's life.
Right, exactly.
Very simple. Yeah. Well, we'll move on from there and go to our good friends in Cornwall. They're now talking about their options with cannabis.
Yes. As we've reported before, in North Canaan, they've been sort of deciding what to do about cannabis availability. And now in Cornwall, the selectmen have sort of taken up an approach on their own for what to do about recreational cannabis. The state now, you know, can be licensed now to grow it, manufacture it, sell it, or deliver it. And so the town down there in Cornwall has decided they really need to be able, they need to figure out what does the town want. So they are going to put forth a survey gauging public opinion on this, and residents will be able to complete this survey. That's, I won't list the website here, but you can find it on the town's website. And the town selectmen also realize there is revenue here to be had. There was a lot of revenue flowing to the state of Connecticut when it started, you know, having retailers, you know, last in the first week of that. So anyway, this is a story. Cornwall's taking a look at cannabis, and we'll see how the survey comes up. It'd be interesting to see whether whether people want to buy it or grow it or package it or sell it.
We're speaking, of course, with John and Emily this week in the Lakeville Journal and Millerton News. The stories that we talk about, by the way, are only a portion of what you'll find either in the paper or online. So, Emily, we'll switch over to you and Millerton Village. This is an interesting story where they're going to get a police chief.
They are, Marshall, yes. So Christine Bates wrote a story about how the village police have been on paid leave since the end of March due to a recommendation to the village board to hire a chief of police to supervise the department, and they found one. And as soon as he's approved by the proper authorities, he could start next month.
Which helps the channel thing and make the office of the police in Millerton a little more accessible when you have somebody named at the top of that.
Right.
And we all know that at Millerton and Northeast, policing is a very big topic. Mm-hmm. Now, we're all familiar with McEnroe Farms, and you've got a story on composting there.
Right. So this is a really fascinating piece by Deborah Meyer. She visited McEnroe Organic Farm, as you said, and has a lot to do with the local solutions to the food waste problem. She talked with Director of Composting Matt Hamm about the soils and compost division at McEnroe. And she talked to a number of local residents, too, about backyard composting. And she also offers a lot of information about how to get started with it, as well as if you want to compost, but you don't have a way to do it yourself. There are ways that there are other places who will do it for you.
It's so funny because, like I said, at my house, I bought one of those portable composting machines, which has made my garbage, by the way, drop off, cut it in half. Mm-hmm. And also, I don't use it for farming, but I use it to fill in potholes around the land and everything like that. It really is a great feature. This story I really love because I remember when they started off with the Stissing Center, I thought it was a great idea. I didn't know how successful it would be. And the Stissing Center in Pine Plains has just been a wild success, and they've dedicated their hall.
They have, yes. So there was an event on Saturday to rename the main performance of hall of the Stissing Center to in honor of Jack and Irene Banning, who founded it. It's now called Banning Hall at the Stinson Center, and there were a number of local dignities there, including Assemblymember Dee Dee Barrett and Dutchess County Legislature Chair Greg Pulver, and it was just a nice way to honor a couple who've done a lot for the community.
And something that's been popping up and down and talked about in the town of Northeast, with not only in the Northeast, but in a lot of towns in our tri-state region, the town of Northeast Wastewater District, there's some progress moving forward on that.
There is a little bit. So in order to build the system, the town has to first form a wastewater district. And bear with me here. It's a little complicated. So there are different methods used to do that. And there was one that was recommended to the board, which is called a petition method. And that means that a petition to form the district will be presented to the town by the property owners within the proposed district who represent at least 50% of the assessed value of the district. See? Right. So anyway, there will be a draft petition drawn up so that will be presented to the town board at a special meeting this coming Monday. And then the petition can be circulated. And when it's signed, the district can be formed and they can move forward.
And that's an important step that must be done if you're going to move forward at all, any which way at all, on a wastewater district. That's a great step forward when they get it done. And you've also got a story on Earth Day events that are coming up in Millerton.
Yeah, there are a number of Earth Day events happening in Millerton. It's kind of being headed up by the Millerton Climate Smart Community Task Force, and it's mostly taking place between noon and 4 on the Village Green in front of the Millerton Inn. A lot of local businesses and organizations will be there, and there's going to be a lot of kind of, you know, green information about how to make your home energy efficient, information about e-bikes and electric vehicles, and about native plant gardening and how to control invasives. and of course activities for children. And there's also a concert happening at 7 p.m. at the Methodist Church. It'll feature music by Natalia Zuckerman and Melissa Ferrick. And there will also be a poetry reading by students from the Bubatuck High School.
All right.
And also, Marshall, just I'll mention that we have birthday events on Saturday all over the place, including in Cornwall, where CBS broadcast journalist Richard Schlesinger will lead a discussion on composting. So we have more composting, but I think everybody should pay attention to what might be an exciting panel discussion in Cornwall on Saturday at the library.
Yeah. Now, John, we'll go to the editorial page first here in both the Millerton News and Lakeville Journal.
Well, I draw everybody's attention to the fact that, again, it's Earth Day on Saturday, and it started, you know, in 1970. A senator from Wisconsin, Gaylord Nelson, decided to come up with the idea of how to ignite consciousness around, you know, around our air and water pollution. And so he decided he might really sort of leverage the student protest movement. And they declared this idea of Earth Day, a weekday falling between spring break and final exams. And the rest is history. It happens now every year. Theoretically, there are something like a billion people who take part in it. And this editorial looks at how the students at IMS in Lakeville, Indian Mountain School, were studying plastic waste and how they were examining the way that the waste is collecting in the world's oceans, and then sort of ends up with looking at really that there's an Earth Day event in almost every town this weekend, from Norfolk to Pine Plains, we have Earth Day events.
You know, this story touches me because when I was a graduate of the class of 1971, we participated in Earth Day beginning in 1971. A classmate by the name of Pete Mitchell and some other ones, we got together and we did a lot of celebrating. So that 1971 year for us, we were 1 year late, but we participated in that way back then in the olden days.
Well, yes, there are probably fewer and fewer readers who even have seen Walter Cronkite on doing his CBS broadcast, but he did it. And there's a great quote on the actual first Earth Day. He said, "A unique day in American history is ending." So takes us back.
All right. Your editorials. And of course, before we get to Compass, once again, letters, which is an important function of both the Millerton News and Lakeville Journal.
Yes, we have one letter from Barton Jones down in Cornwall, who is really saying the Housatonic Railroad has passed its sell date, and he really is opposed to the idea of the herbicide spraying and would like to actually see a 41-mile rail trail instead of a railroad. We also have a letter pointing out from Marie Barnum that National Prayer Day is coming up on May 4th. And we list where there will be events around that, really fondly delighting in the turning back the pages, especially an item that occurred in the March 30th column about a food store that didn't really a meat store that didn't sell any meat. It's a lovely memory of turning back the pages from, you know, 50 years ago, 100 years ago.
And I guess we can take a look at what are on the pages of Compass.
Yes, Compass this week is looking at a photographer in Poughkeepsie, also known as Po-Town, but it's a black and white street photographer who currently has an exhibit at the Kent Art Association in Kent. His name is Anaj Benjamin. It also looks at Robert Andrew Parker's exhibit. He's turning 95 this year, and for those of our, on the reader on the listening audience don't know, he is one of the biggest artists here in the West Cornwall, Northwest corner. And so he's having an opening show on April 29th at the Washington Art Association in Washington. We have some calendar items, including one that's a big deal for us, is the Crescendo Concert in search of Bridges, happening on April 28th at 7:30 p.m. at the Trinity Church in Lakeville. And Hotchkiss Philharmonic is happening again on Earth Day, Saturday night. We also looked briefly at two other things. One is the film about Vermeer, and that is showing at the movie house in Millerton on Sunday, and a book review. So it's a pretty full up compass this week. Lots of calendar items and things to do.
You know, you mentioned Robert Parker, and he has produced for us at the radio station over 350 one-hour shows on old-time jazz. He's an amazing, amazing artist, an amazing, amazing person who just seems to get younger every year.
Yes, exactly.
Well, these are some of the stories you will find in the Lakeville Journal and Millerton News, both in the papers and online at tricornernews.com. Always a pleasure to have you, John and Emily, on air, and we'll speak to you again next week.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Bye, Marshall. Thank you.